We see in today's gospel that Jesus is telling a parable about history. He's telling a parable about how God is the landowner who's tended this vineyard, the world, and how he assigned tenants, people to serve in his vineyard, in the world, to bring forth his fruit, to bring forth his goodness. And his people failed him in the past, so he sent prophets to correct them. They were cast out. Eventually, he sent his son, Jesus, to correct them, and he was cast out, the cornerstone, which would become the new foundation. And we are now, currently, those tenants. We are God's people on this earth, called to bring about God's fruit, to put it simply. Well, so we are exhorted today to bring forward that fruit in our world. And one way we can do this is to proclaim the truth. And an important truth that our world needs today, I will sum up with 3 points. One, every single human person has an inherent and inalienable dignity. We believe that God designs and creates every single human person and destines them for himself. He creates everything and everyone for a purpose. There is no chance in God's creation. Everything is deliberate. Everything is purposeful. And that's the same about us. Who and what we are, there is purpose to it. From the greatest thing about us to the least thing, all of it is from God. It is not from chance. And there's no chance then in the people that God has commissioned to be his servants in his vineyard. And our dignity as people lies in that, lies in the fact that God has created us in his image and his likeness, that he has given us a purpose. And so our dignity rests simply in the fact that we exist, that God has called us into existence to bear his image and likeness in the world. And so our dignity does not come from how we look or anything we do or any law. It is inherent because God has given it to us. And therefore, since it is given by God, who is all-powerful, almighty, all-everything, it is inalienable. Who are we to attack this great gift from God? Two, it is foolish to draw an arbitrary distinction between human life and personhood. This applies especially to the unborn. For we know that women do not give birth to trees or dogs. Women give birth to human beings. Science tells us that at the moment of conception, a unique human life is formed. And this human life has a unique DNA that is completely different from its mother's and its father's DNA. It is an individual human life. He or she is just very young and very short, you might say. And this small human life, left to its own devices, will become a baby and will become a full-grown adult. Now, some want to draw a distinction saying that genetic human life, that there is a distinction between genetic human life and personhood, and that's personhood, that bestowal of rights. A person has the rights of a human being. Yet, there is no experiment to run or any science which can tell us that personhood or tell us when personhood is bestowed. Thus, if we were to assign any criteria as to determine when the bestowal of personhood is, it would be arbitrary. And thus it becomes very dangerous if we get that wrong. And for this reason, it is reasonable for all people to say that the bestowal of personhood is concurrent with conception. Because to say anything else creates the possibility of grave human rights violations. And we have seen similar distinctions made in our history. Distinctions between human life and some criteria that says you are a person deserving of rights. And we've seen it in the slave trade. We've seen it in Nazi Germany. We've seen it in Rwanda. And we see it today in abortion. To draw a distinction between human life and some other criteria that bestows human rights upon us is foolish and dangerous. Three, the destruction of human life can never be considered acceptable or a loving option. The loving option is always that a stronger party helps out a vulnerable or weaker party. For example, if I were to go out walking in the park with my niece and a man were to come up and try to kidnap her at gunpoint, I would basically have two options. I could try to stop the kidnapper with, you know, possible risk to myself, but I would try to stop the kidnapper. My other option would be to run away and secure my own safety. Now, if I chose the first one, to try to stop the kidnapper at the possible risk and suffering to myself, I would be considered a hero. If I were to choose the second option, and if I were to run away to secure my own safety, I would be condemned, and rightly so. And so we get that principle that stronger parties are expected to assist vulnerable parties even at the expense of their own, you know, maybe suffering or life. The loving option is to risk something to help out the vulnerable party, to help the weaker party. To put the good of another over my own good, that is a loving option. And the child, of course, in abortion is that vulnerable party who deserves to be protected and helped. And some may say that a child could grow up then in poverty and have a very hard life. And yes, that is very possible. But it is not a good reason to end someone's life. It is not a loving option. It is a great reason, however, though, for us to help that mother and to help that baby to come into this world and to have a good life, to help as much as we can. And so we fight for the right of all children to be able to grow up, to love, and to be loved. This month of October is Respect Life Month, and so that's why we bring this up again, and we declare that direct abortion is everywhere and always a grave moral evil. But it is one that God will forgive. If we have sought forgiveness in the past for the sin of abortion, we are forgiven. Truly, we are forgiven. If we seek forgiveness for the sin of abortion, God is eager to forgive us. But that is how his mercy works. His mercy is greater than anything that we can do. But we are those tenants. We are those stewards who live in this world, who God has placed in this world, and he has given us the gifts of life and of all everything we have in our life. And so we are to be stewards of that. We are to help these things to bear that fruit, to bear that produce, to bring forth the riches and the greatness of God on this earth. And so we help all life to come to fruition for the greater glory of God. And on a lighter stewardship note, change of topic, I would like to bring forward Salvador and Erica Zarita, who will witness to the joy of their stewardship, living out their stewardship in this parish. Erica and Salvador.
Good evening. We are the Zaritas, Salvador and my wife, Erica. We have been parishioners of Blessed Sacrament for 14 years. As some of you may already know, we are converts to the Catholic faith. When Erica and I got married, neither one of us had a formed spiritual life. Within a few months after getting married, our first child was on the way. Suddenly, we found ourselves feeling the need to care for the new life that God was blessing us with, and not knowing where to begin or even how to begin. It was a slow and difficult process at first, but under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and my lovely wife, we established a family mission statement that put into words what God was placing in our hearts. We knew we had to create a home that fostered the spiritual growth of every member in our family. Eventually, we became part of the Episcopal Church. God was providing us with so many blessings that instinctively we felt the need to share these blessings with others around us. We became involved in helping with the children's program, which gave us many opportunities to start experiencing some of the gifts of what stewardship really means. Through many circumstances and events in our lives, combined with a spiritual crisis within the Episcopal Church, we came in contact with some Catholic friends who were unafraid to talk about their faith and share their gifts with us. Ultimately, our journey brought us to the Catholic faith and to Blessed Sacrament 15 years ago, this coming Easter. Through this wonderful community, we have continued to experience in many ways the stewardship way of life through the example of so many of you. Today, we have been invited to talk about this year's stewardship theme, and I believe my wife will do a much better job at that than me.
good evening. Well, to get over my initial panic of having to speak in public, I settled myself down by pondering more deeply this year's stewardship renewal theme, which is, who are you following? As I looked more closely at the picture in the stewardship poster, I realized how I had missed some vital details. When I had first seen the poster, I had gotten the general idea. There's Jesus on the seashore calling a disciple to come follow him. But I had not stopped to take the time to really look at it, to really see it, and to put myself into the scene. When I did, it came alive for me. Suddenly, I was that boy on the left side who was on the smartphone and who heard Jesus' voice saying, "Come, follow me." Wow. Now that was different. It was I, not somebody else, who had to respond and who had a decision to make. It became personal and it became real. That is what stewardship has been like for us at Blessed Sacrament and in the Catholic Church. It has been standing in that moment of decision. Do we look up and heed Jesus' call, or do we let the busyness of life keep calling the shots? This is Christ's church. He is truly here. And if we take the time to stop and listen, he's always calling us forward. Receiving the gift of the Eucharist, experiencing Christ's true presence in the Catholic Church has changed our lives. Salvador and I were so fortunate to have witnessed firsthand and to have been the beneficiaries of people who generously share their gift of the faith with us. Because of their generosity, we are now part of a community, the Ecclesia, which is built upon the rock of Peter. The truth is no longer shifting and moving under our feet like sand as it was before. Having this newfound stability has allowed us to focus on discovering what is truly meaningful in life, God's divine gift of life and love, and has allowed us to pass this gift onto our children and to others, sharing with them all that is good, true, and beautiful. And for this, we are so thankful and grateful. Next Sunday, we will all receive our stewardship packets. Let's take the time to stop and gratefully recognize and receive this invitation to follow Jesus and share our life with others. In this way, we will continue to experience together the truth of what Jesus says to us in John 8:12. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Thank you.